caught me off guard. I didn't hear my name and call, but I want to say this. I needed this meeting. I'm thankful to be here and appreciate every message that God has blessed us to hear. And I hope that we can carry it with us back to Kentucky and Florida or North Carolina, Indiana, wherever you're from. My 50 years that have been with the Old Baptist, 51 almost this October, known about them a little longer than that, ordained in the ministry 50 years ago. I don't have to tell you a lot about that. A lot of changes have taken place in this world, round about us, in the secular world, but also among our dear people, the Primitive Baptists. The God that they preach, the God that I heard of 50 years ago, I still believe they preach that. And they exalt the name of our God. And it's something that I don't want to see changed. I'd like to hear more of the same. I'd like to do a better job of putting my what I believe into shoe leather. As one old preacher said, every Bible ought to be wrapped in shoe leather. We ought to be not just talkers, but walkers. And we heard that in this meeting thus far. I look at some of you, and when I look back 50 years ago, I had a few less wrinkles and probably a few less spots and blemishes, outwardly speaking. I heard a reporter ask, and I told someone last night, a lady that reached 100, and said, "What is the best thing about reaching 100 years of age?" She says, "There's no peer pressure." Another lady said, "I don't like to have birthdays anymore. Don't count them." I said, "You don't? Haven't you ever read the statistics that the more birthdays you have, the longer you live?" I thank God for every year, 50 years. I thank God for every day of those 50 years. I've made a lot of mistakes, and I'll probably make some more. And we've heard all about that, and you've heard enough. But I'm thankful this morning that the God that we've heard preached by these precious elders, ministers, that God has called. If I had anything, I know I can't add anything to what they've said, and I feel like one brother said to me down in Florida meeting some years ago, he said, "Brother Troutner, take all the time you want. I'm giving you 15 minutes." But sometimes, if you have a good beginning and a powerful ending, just make it close together. I'll take that with me back home, and I'll try to practice a little bit better. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. We've heard something about a lot of the churches that the Lord blessed this man of God to write epistles, as we call them, letters. And he said in the first chapter of the First Corinthian letter, he said, "For ye see your calling, brethren." And I think he's speaking about the church there and that multiple or that cultural city of Corinth, which was a very wicked city. It was one of the largest cities under the Roman Empire. It was in Greece, of course, even larger than Athens at that time, the center of the cultural world, had over 400,000 population according to some of the statistics. And it was a city where the Lord blessed the Apostle Paul to establish a church, Corinth. And in that church, it must have been a very gifted church, it must have been a very blessed church. The Apostle Paul says to that church, "When I came unto you, I came not with the excellency of speech, declaring unto you the testimony of our Lord. I was with you with much fear and trembling. And I determined to know nothing among you, but the central theme of his whole ministry, as we heard in this meeting thus far, if I understand it correctly, was Jesus Christ and him crucified." And he, of course, emphasized that to the church. He says, "The Lord sent me not to baptize." I don't think he was minimizing the importance of baptism. We've heard that. It's very vital and important to be a follower of the Lord, to identify with his people, is to follow him in baptism. And he said, "I was not sent to be baptized, but to preach the gospel." not in the wisdom of men's words, but he says, for that the cross of Christ would be made of none effect. And he goes on in that First Corinthian letter, and I'll just briefly state, God used five things that I believe that he told those members of that church, perhaps deacons that were in that church that were established in his ministry for 18 months in the city of Corinth, where he wanted to leave at an earlier time and under probably a lot of persecution and a lot of duress and a lot of criticism and a lot of difficulties. And the Lord appeared to him in a vision one night and said, "Fear not." He said, "You stand and you preach in this city, for I have much people in this city." And that church became a very amazing church. It had a lot of problems in it. But I'd tell you today, if there wasn't any problem in the church, someone says, "We've got too many problems in the church." I said, "Yeah, that's probably true, because you and I are members." Someone said, "I would join the church, but there's too many hypocrites there." One old sister said in Maryland, he said, "There's always room for one more." She perhaps was right. But if you examine yourself in the light of what we really are, I read something one time. It says, "I used to be really criticized. I was a Pharisee until quite unexpectedly I got a glimpse of me." And when we see ourselves before our God and realize that God has taken some things that were very, unimportant or insignificant in this world, and that's the reason he emphasized the fact to those Corinthian brethren, he said, "Not many wise, not many noble, not many mighty of this earth has God called as far as the gospel kingdom is concerned." Now, there's a choice of God we've heard before the foundation of the world. But I do believe there was God's servants that have been chosen down through the ages of time to stand upon the walls of Zion. Men of God that he has chosen. The Apostle Paul was a chosen vessel, wasn't he? And every minister that's been called of God, he's chosen. He's not to be entangled with the affairs of this life as much as possible, that he might please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. He's a soldier. He's a farmer. He's a, I don't know, he's a workman. He's every description that's given by the Apostle Paul. And so when these brethren, he said, God hath chosen the foolish things of this world and the weak things and the things that are base. That's lowborn or way down at the bottom, so to speak. And he's chosen the foolish, the weak, and the base, and the despised, and the things that are not or nothing. He said in this world. And you examine the members of the Old Baptist Church. We don't have too many mighty men among us. If they are, they don't feel that way. Not many mighty, not many noble. It doesn't say not any, but it does say not many. And so one queen of England said, "Thank God for that M." So he can take the mighty and make them feel their littleness as far as God's concerned, his purpose is concerned. So the Lord is, he chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He chose a man back there, was a worshiper of idols, to begin his nation of Israel, Abraham. He was chosen from the Ur of the Chaldees. You can read that. And he chose men that would be considered not very big in the eyes of this world. You read the prophets, where they came from. Amos was a farmer boy. And Obadiah and all of these that were humble men and had humble beginnings in this whole world. But that it has pleased the Lord to do that. God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. You can't read in the Old Testament men like Gideon. Where was he when the Lord came to him and appeared to him in a vision, and an angel appeared to him and said, greeted him this way? He's in a cave. He's thrashing the harvest because the Midianites were coming in and taking all of the harvest. And here he's back in a cave. And he's there, and the Lord appears to him and said, "Gideon, thou mighty man of valor." He said, "The Lord is with thee." And Gideon says, "A mighty man of valor? What do you mean?" He said, "I am the least among my people. And here I'm in the cave, and I'm trying to get enough food to take care of my family. And you call me a mighty man of valor?" And you know the story about Gideon. But the Lord revealed to Gideon, he says, I'm going to, with one man, I'm going to destroy your enemies, and you're going to be, and eventually he became judge in Israel. God has taken some weak things and things that you and I wouldn't even consider. And among the old Baptist family, when I first came among them, I stood amazed when I heard these old Baptist preachers preach, especially in North Carolina. I mean, North Carolina with some of them. I thought one of them, when the first one I heard before I was in the old Baptist church, his name was, I shouldn't repeat it probably, but everyone knows, remember Elder Walter Evans? Well, I first heard him preach, I looked at him and I said, if that man can preach, it's going to be a miracle. And you know, he preached, and it was a miracle. And I listened, and I thought, where in the world did he go to school? He wasn't a graduate of Harvard. He wasn't, thank God for that. He's not a graduate of these secular institutions. The greatest school that we'll ever learn is, we've heard about it in this meeting, is sitting at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those apostles, 12 of them that were called, 11 of them that we know that God blessed in an abundant measure. But they were considered to be unlearned and ignorant men. Unlearned and ignorant men. But there's one thing about them that was different. They took knowledge of them. That though they had no degrees, they were not high in the world's estimate and estimation, but they had learned to them that they had been with Jesus. And they emphasized that fact at the expense of their own life, and even at the cost of going into imprisonment and being persecuted and hated and despised in that day and time. The Lord does use the foolish things of this world. And you know, the gospel is one of the most foolish things there is. Now, it's not the gospel that's foolish. The world says it is. The world says it's foolishness. That means it cannot comprehend. It's the contents of the gospel that appears to the wisdom of this world as foolishness. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish what? Foolishness. But unto them which are saved, it's not foolishness. I don't think you'd come so many miles from Indiana and around the country from Florida to hear a bunch of foolishness. I know sometimes I get in the flesh and act sometimes kind of foolish. My wife tells me that. And you're not alone. I've already said too much. It's good to be here. We need your prayers. And may the Lord help us as ministers of the gospel and as Primitive Baptist people to realize if the Lord can take someone outside of the camp of Israel when they went into the promised land, under the leadership and the command of Joshua. And there, the big city of Jericho, and there was a woman. In fact, the scriptures mentioned her name as Rahab. And every time you read the name Rahab in the Old Testament, or even it's in the New Testament, you find Rahab is mentioned at least three times, and is always connected with the harlot. There's only one time her name is not mentioned as the harlot. You know where it is? In Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy. The grace of God covers that and does not mention that fact. But Rahab, the harlot, if she wasn't a despised character. But the grace of God made a difference. And there was a man in Israel by the name of Salmon that must have fallen in love with Rahab, that harlot, and married her. And she bore a son whose name was Boaz. And Boaz had a son whose name was Obed. And Obed had a son whose name was Jesse. And Jesse had a son whose name was David. And the lineage of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ come. And did you know that Rahab was justified by her works? When she put over the scarlet over the wall there. And also Abraham was justified by works, not before Almighty God, but before his fellow man. For before you not. And you're justified by works when you take up your cross. And you manifest yourself and display your love toward our Lord Jesus Christ in the service of God. God uses human means, not for heaven. We've heard that. That the Lord, the only one who fits us for that glory world. with that same, that one that fits us for heaven and immortal glory, is the all the same one that will enable us to live here in His gospel kingdom and walk in a way that's pleasing in His sight. We need His grace to live by, and we'll need His grace to die by. My dad used to say, son, he said, don't ever just remember that what you say with your mouth is going to be not near as powerful as what you do with your feet. And I say that. And he says, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely point the way. For the eye is still a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Good counsel can be confusing. Example's always clear. And the best of all our preachers and teachers and deacons and members are the ones who live their creed to see good put in action is what everybody needs. I can soon learn how to do it if you let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action. Hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the sermons we deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lessons from observing what you do. For I may misunderstand you in the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. He said, son, someone asked him if he had his gravesite picked out in the Dakotas where he's laid to rest his body. He said, no, I'm not worried about that. He said, I'm really looking for the undertaker, not the undertaker. He said, the undertaker may get my body, but the undertaker is going to get the real part. And that's what we're all looking for. God bless you and keep you safe here. And bless this meeting. I thank God for Brother Hunt. We need to pray for him and support him. With all the help we can give him materially, we're all better off than a lot of people. We can do a lot better. I can do it, and you can too. And let's support our ministers with our prayers and with the gifts that God has blessed us with. And I believe He'll prosper Zion if we do it rightly. Amen. And happily and willingly and not grudgingly and not paying our taxes, but doing it in the service of God because we love Him, because He first loved us. Let's pray together. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we come to Thee as poor beggars. Mercy's door. We do believe the reason You have called Your people in this world, many of them that are in that classification that we see described there in this church, the poor of this world, but they're rich in faith as heirs of the kingdom of God. Dear Lord, we pray You bless Zion everywhere. There's a great need of revival. There's a great need of returning to the great principles that Thy Word has set forth so simply. And we know in our own experience that when we have drifted, when we've turned away, when we've not done what we've done to the honor and glory of Your name, we're the losers. And we're the ones who suffer the consequences of Your holy and righteous chastising rod in our life. Bless all here today, those that have come many miles. Bless every church that's represented, every minister of the gospel. Many, they won't stand up here and preach, but their lives have been men and servants of the Most High God, and You're the one that blesses them abundantly. Provide the needs of this congregation here and all the congregations all over the country. Have mercy upon our beloved nation, our president, our representatives. God, have mercy upon our men that are defending our freedom. Deliver us from evil, dear Lord, within and without, and bless these messages that we've heard. We may not remember the one who said it, but dear Lord, let's take as much of it possible and put it into good use and let our life display that we believe in a God that has all power in heaven and in earth. We know the reason You've called and chosen people like this, that no flesh should glory in Your presence. But he that glorieth, may we ever remember that we're to glory in the Lord, not in the best of preachers, not in the leaders of this world, but in the great captain of our salvation, the one who deserves all the praise and honor and glory. For if it was Him, of God are we in Christ Jesus, who has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. For it's His wonderful and worthy name we pray. Amen. Amen.